Take your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. What a milestone. Graduation. It's a time of celebration. If you're not graduating this week, you can remember back to a day when you did graduate. Caps, gowns, cameras flashing, parents crying. Those are tears of joy, by the way. But let's be honest, it's also a time of what now? What's next? There's excitement, yes, but also that quiet uncertainty, whispering in the background. Am I ready for what's next? What is next? I think Joshua could relate to that kind of thought. After Moses, the man who led Israel out of Egypt, he stood face to face with Pharaoh. He talked with God on Mount Sinai. When Moses passed off the scene and the baton was being handed to Joshua to take the lead, I think Joshua might have felt some of those same things. Am I ready for what's next? I mean, imagine stepping into that role. Can you? The weight of responsibility, the unknowns of the new land, the giants, the battles, the pressure. But right there, in that moment of fear, in that moment of transition, God gives Joshua a powerful, a tremendous charge. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to tell you this evening, that verse is not just for Joshua. It's for every graduate that is staring into the next chapter of their life. Whether that's more college, a career, missions, ministry. I don't know what the Lord has for the next step, but God doesn't just send us into the unknown. He goes with us. So I want you to stand tall. Well, right now I just want you to sit tall. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. He knows where you're at, and he's going with you. So as you step into the future, God provides everything that you need. He gives you a command. He requires courage. We'll talk about that. And he gives you his absolute certainty. The first thing I want to see tonight is God's command. Have not I commanded thee? Your journey forward is not just your idea based on human wisdom or advice. It's not based on just a list of pros and cons about different choices. I want you to understand that God is directing your steps. You say, I don't even know where I'm going. God is leading you if you're walking with him. He's commanding and he's commissioning you for what lies ahead. He is preparing you for what he has for you in the next chapter of life. You see, this word command is not casual. It carries the idea of entrusting someone with a solemn responsibility. And in the context of Joshua 1:9, it's as if God is saying, I'm giving you permission. Excuse me, I'm not just giving you permission, I'm giving you an order. This is your assignment. Now, the good news is when God gives you an assignment, he gives you the ability and the resources to accomplish that assignment. I want to remind you tonight, young person, your next steps have divine purpose and significance. You're under the order of the King of Kings. So it's not just about picking a ministry and hoping it's the best, or landing a job, or trying to figure out what's next. It's about walking in obedience to a holy God, to a sovereign God who's already gone on before you. And here's something that I hope you remember. God's command to Joshua was not rooted in Joshua's ability. He didn't say, well, Joshua, I think you're a good administrator. I think you'll make you've been performing well as a general, and so I think you're ready to be a leader. No, when we start thinking that we have the ability for God's work, then we'll rely on our own strength. No, it's about understanding God's ability working through us. You know, God didn't say, be strong and courageous because you've got this. That's kind of the world's philosophy. You've got this, go out and get it. No, he said, be strong and courageous because I am with thee. And in that same way, your assignment as a graduate isn't about how smart you are, how many doors that you can open. It's really about the one who gave the command. This next chapter of your life, whether you find yourself in another dorm room, a full-time job, maybe a trade school, I don't know what the Lord has for you. It might involve moving across the country or across the globe. Or it might be just you staying right here in Shelby, North Carolina. But it's not just a new phase in life. It's still a mission field wherever God sends you. It's the place where God has stationed you to glorify Him, to represent Christ, to walk by faith in obedience to His word. We never graduate from serving the Lord. God's plans for you and your future, they're not random. Maybe I told you this story once, but I grew up watching The Price is Right. I have to confess, and confession is good for the soul. They have a game on The Price is Right. It's called the Plinko game. And you can walk up this set of stairs, and you get this big chip, and there's a bunch of nails on this board, and this thing just seems to go down randomly in different... But in one episode, I don't remember what year it was, but I didn't watch it live. I read about this later. But in one episode, this lady, she sends it down, and that Plinko works its way down and goes right into whatever the highest scoring was, $1,000, whatever it is. Maybe it's $5,000. I don't remember what it was at the time. $5,000. She gets her second chip. I mean, that's amazing. Everybody's cheering. And she puts that thing on there, and it looks like it's randomly going down, and it funnels right into $5,000. After the third chip lands in $5,000, they stop production right there. They say, something's wrong. Statistically, this is impossible for three of these chips to land on $5,000. Well, what they found out was the advertising agency was running some commercial ads, and they had put fishing line on there, so it looked like it was random, but it was really all pointing right down to the highest payout. Now, they made that person $15,000 or whatever it was, but they didn't let them drop any more chips. And it may look like in your life that there's random things happening, but God is working and He is funneling you to the place where He wants you to be to do what He has called you to do. It's not an accident. Your graduation isn't just a celebration, it's a deployment. God is sending you out to serve Him wherever He has directed you to go. You're being sent to a new area of service, and just like Joshua, you were going with God. You know, the unknown isn't something to fear when the unchanging one is by your side. I hope you realize that. That ought to give us courage because you've been commissioned. God's given you the command. But I not only want to see God's command, I want to see God's courage. Joshua 9 is a life-altering charge from God Himself. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Now, we've already said that this verse is not just a spiritual suggestion. It's not God giving Joshua a little pat on the back saying, hey, you can do this. No, this is a command straight from the mouth of God. And He's calling His servant to rise up, to stand firm, to move forward with courage. Not rooted in himself, but in the promise of a faithful God. Now here's the exciting part. That call is echoing down to each one of us today. Especially now, the graduates, as you're stepping into one of life's biggest transitions. First, God commands strength. When God says be strong, he's not talking about bulking up at the gym. Although, fellas, that never hurts, all right? He's not saying bigger arms are going to help you accomplish his will, but he's talking about that inner strength, that spiritual backbone, that part of you that really holds you up when things get heavy. Now, I'm not talking about just mustering up enough strength. You understand that strength comes from God. But that strength is fortified with faith. And it's forged in the fire of trials. It's anchored in the truth of God's word. It's the kind of strength that says, listen, I don't know what's around the corner, but I know who's around the corner, and I can trust him. It's a quiet, unshakable resolve that says, even if I don't feel strong, I'll stand on God's strength. Because that's the strength that we need. And that really is what I'm talking about tonight. You cannot manufacture that kind of strength yourself. If I just have enough resources, mentally, emotionally. No, that's not what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, you can't do it by yourself. But God provides that strength. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. It's his strength that you'll need for this next season of life. The Holy Spirit inside of you, that's the source of power that you need to tap into. So when the pressures come, when the expectations rise, when you're tempted to quit or to cave, stand firm. Don't quit. God is your strength. Second, God calls for this courage. Courage doesn't mean that you're not going to feel afraid. And all God's people said, amen. I mean, we've all been afraid at some point in our life. You see, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is choosing to obey God in the face of fear, in spite of that fear. That's really what courage is. You know, there's going to be times where you feel nervous. You're going to face unknowns. It's normal to have butterflies in your stomach before that first day in a new classroom, especially when you're the one teaching it. It's normal to get a bit jittery before stepping into a new job or a new ministry. But courage says, I sense or I feel that fear. You recognize it, but I'm going to obey anyway. That's what courage is. And why? Because God is greater than whatever I'm afraid of. Somebody once called courage faith in action. I like that. It's saying, God, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to trust you to take care of the next step. I think sometimes we want to have everything planned out, something that we can just map it out, and then we can take that next step, and that next step, and that next step, and that's just not how God operates. I can tell you, at least not in my life. And sometimes we map it out, and we say, God, we want your stamp of approval on my plan for my life. And he says, I just need to make a couple of endemations, just a few alterations here. He takes it and he shakes it up and he says, this is what I have for you. And I'll tell you, if you'll surrender to that, it is so much better than whatever you might plan for your own life. Not only does God command courage, he forbids fear. I think that's interesting. Fear not, that's a command. I mean, don't miss this. God's not just suggesting that we have courage. He commands it. And in the same breath, he forbids us to be afraid. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. You know what fear is? Fear is that nagging voice in your head that's whispering, what if it all goes wrong? What if this doesn't work out? Fear is the thought of what might happen. Dismay is the sense of being overwhelmed, like you're unraveling inside. Have you ever felt that way? When I was a kid, I don't know what started. My grandmother used to knit with yarn, and she had all these knitting projects, and she would always have like the tail end of some yarn bale. I don't know what they call those things. A bale of yarn? Probably not it. But I would always get the last couple of feet. And this ought to tell you how much she knitted. But I had a ball of yarn that was about 12 or 15 inches wide or in diameter. It was huge. It was probably about 12 pounds. It was big. And I just wondered one day if I could just get that thing rolling down a hill and hold on to it, how long it would keep going. Now, I never did that. And it's probably buried somewhere in some time capsule. No, it's not either. It's in a trash heap somewhere. But that's how we feel sometimes. It's just like that ball of yarn rolling down the hill, coming unraveled. That is that desperation, dismay, being overwhelmed. But God says, don't let those emotions control you. Don't let the emotions control you. We're all, at some time in our life, going to feel fear. But never follow that fear. When you hand over the steering wheel of your decisions to fear, that's when you're no longer following God. You can't let fear drive and still be following the Lord. So, I charge you tonight to follow the Lord. Let His truth, His promises, His presence guide you, not your emotions. Now, you may feel the weight, the uncertainty, the pressure, but you don't have to be ruled by it. This next season of life is exciting. You have your whole life in front of you to accomplish what God has for you in this life. But it can also be intimidating. You're stepping out of the familiar, that which is known to you day by day. And there is safety in that. There's security in that. And you're stepping into a future that you can't fully see. You don't know all about it. You may know a little bit about it, but you don't know all about it. And sometimes that can rattle us. It can cause that anxiety to go up. And somewhere along the way, there's going to be a setback, a test that blindsides you. You say, this is a very encouraging message tonight, Pastor. I've just been alive long enough to know that God allows testing to come into our lives. And it's not always when final exams are going to be. Sometimes it's just a pop quiz that you're not ready for. Maybe it's a place that feels unfamiliar, a ministry you feel unprepared for, or a moment when you're asking, God, are you sure you got the right person for this job, for this ministry, for whatever it is the Lord has for you? And right there, in that very moment, is where this verse matters the most. Be strong. Be courageous. He says, I am with you. Not if you're strong enough, you'll get it together. No, it's He is strong enough. Think of Joshua. He's following Moses. I said already, those are big shoes to follow. He's got this incredible responsibility. He's leading the entire nation into enemy territory. Giants in the land, walled cities. And if anyone had a right to be nervous, it would have been Joshua. But what did God say? He said, be strong. Be courageous. Joshua might have had some battle plans, but I don't think it was anything close to marching around a city 7 times or 13 times total, being quiet and then yelling at the last time. I don't think that was in West Point in that day. I still don't think they teach that at West Point today. That's not a very good military strategy unless the Lord tells you to do that. And the Lord's tactics and strategy was far superior to Joshua's. And all Joshua had to do is say, Lord, I'm going to follow your lead. Joshua didn't have all the answers, but he had God's presence. And that was enough. That was enough. And guess what? That's enough for you too. right now, this season of transition is not just a break from school. Although you're thinking, I'm sure glad it is. Every moment, especially those moments of fear, is a test of faith. It's your opportunity to grow that faith, to place that dependence on God in those times. And my encouragement to you is to grow. Lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. Press on. Don't waste this season. Live it courageously for His glory. Remember, you don't need to feel strong. You don't need to know what's coming next. You just need to know who is going with you. Let me give you one last thought. God's certainty. Don't overlook that final powerful phrase in Joshua 1:9. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's the rock solid assurance. This phrase, I hope, will cement in your thinking and in your heart that God's presence is three things. Number one, it is personal. Thy God. He's your God. You've grown up. You've been serving Him. You know Him. But He's your God. He can't be just your parents' God. He can't be the God that shows up at church and the one we sing to. It's not just a culture. He is your God, and He has promised to be with you. Not only here, but Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can borrow a lot of things from a roommate. You can't borrow a diploma, and you cannot borrow someone else's relationship with the Lord. It's personal. He's committed to you. He wants you to be committed to Him. Not only is it personal, it's constant. He says, I will be with thee. The Lord doesn't check in and out. He doesn't say, hey, I'll check on you in a couple weeks to see if you're still going in the right direction. No, He's always there. He doesn't leave when things get hard. You know that word with, it carries the idea of more than just being nearby. It carries this idea of companionship, of God walking right alongside of you, closely, intimately. And that's the kind of relationship that He wants to have with you daily. He wants to be with you. Now, He is with you, but He wants you to be with Him. Not only is it personal and constant, it is everywhere. Whithersoever thou goest. That means when you go to ministry, when you work a job, if you're going to school, He's there with you. He is there. I hope that's your anchor as you move into this new season of life. It's not some vague comfort or some kind of sentimental fluff that's supposed to make you feel better. It is the truth of God's word that says that wherever you go, God is going with you. And because of that companionship, you can have that courage. You can dispel that fear. You don't have to be dismayed. Do you remember Genesis 28:15? God tells Jacob this, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. That's the same word, the same powerful promise. He is with them, a companion to wherever Jacob was going to go, God was going as well. It's not that as though God is some distant observer. He's not like a bird watcher watching you from the back and hidden so he can't be seen. He's the faithful companion and active protector. He's involved and wants to be involved in the nitty-gritty of your life. That's a technical phrase, by the way. Let that be the bedrock of your courage. Why should you not fear? Why can you move forward boldly? Why can you take this next step in life? Because the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who spoke the world into existence, has promised to be with you. He walks with you. He talks with you. Let that truth grip your soul. Let it be anchored down to know that God loves you and walks with you. So when you're standing alone in a classroom of kids, Sounds backwards. I meant to say when you're standing in a classroom of kids and you feel all alone, he is with you. When the job doesn't pan out like you thought it was going to, or ministry stretches you beyond your comfort zone, he's there. And at some point when you feel pressured to compromise, when temptation hits you very hard, when the way forward feels foggy at best, he's there. When life doesn't follow your plan, you know what's worse? When the detour doesn't make any sense at the time, he's still there. His presence, it's not a luxury. It's our lifeline. It's not something we can just lean into like it's cashmere blankets. It's the oxygen that we breathe. That should be our desire to be with him. I hope that you build your life on that unshakable truth. God is with you. Not in theory. Not just here in church. But in every detail of your life. He's with you. He's for you. Whithersoever thou goest. Now, go live like it. Go live like it. I want to read the verse one last time. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It's an exciting time. Maybe a little fearful. Don't let that drive the boat. Trust in the Lord, and he'll continue to direct your steps. We're thankful for each one of you. We're excited to see what God has for you, and we're praying that God's going to use